Welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. I am your host, Namita Mahanama. Here, I bring you the synergistic utilization of Western and Eastern modalities to help you thrive in your wellness, to thrive in your mental health, to thrive in life, so that you can feel and be your best self in body, mind, and soul. Thank you for joining me. So, let's jump in together and thrive. So, hello and welcome to episode 27 of the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. Thank you so incredibly much for joining me today. And this is actually the first episode of the new year. So it's actually super exciting. I hope you had a wonderful summer break and that you have come back to the real world and real life with hopefully a lot more energy, a lot more vitality. I hope that you're feeling refreshed and rejuvenated. And whilst, you know, I understand that we are in February, I really wanted to spend this episode on setting goals or going through the whole concept of setting goals for 2023. And the reason why I'm doing that really is because, like everything that I do, not only is it a self-reflection time for me, it's always things that have popped up in my life that encourage me to speak about it and to hopefully help guide other people by sharing what I've learned and sharing what sort of works and doesn't work for me. So the reason why I feel goal setting is so important, even if we're at the 10th of February today, even if we're on that particular day, what's happening is that holiday or summer period where you have time and space to have these grandiose goals and visions, ideals and things that you want to have happen in your life and goals that you want to work on. And then when real life kicks in, and so for me currently that looks like two boys who have started two new schools and the barrage of emails and information and knowing what day, who needs to bring what and making sure their bags are packed, their uniforms are ironed and before school activities, after school activities, you know, immersing that in amongst going back to work last week as well. My husband has got away for an overseas trip just this morning, so I'll be solo parenting until next Friday. And so that, you know, enters a whole other layer and chapter and aspect to my life. But, you know, this next 8 days, it has its own set of challenges. And so what I feel like, because now we're in this segment of life, meaning that school is back, it's actually a beautiful time to reset, to really nut down and write down goals. And the reason it's important is because it helps to give clarity. It helps to give intentional energy into the work that you're doing. So rather than being haphazard and doing a little bit of this, little bit of that, not really sure what you should be doing and when and why, it's the why that I feel is such an important aspect. And so that's why setting goals is important, because when you are doing your work, that if you have a clear set of this is what I'm working towards, you work with the end in mind, that it gives you a pathway to actually follow. And whilst I'm all for being fluid and flexible, and, you know, that's what life has taught me, I do also like to work within certain guidelines and certain frameworks and structure, because it helps me feel grounded. It gives me some kind of framework. I feel more solid and comforted in that particular respect. And that's certainly grounding for me with my vata, my air and space. That feels very grounding. It feels very earthy. And so, you know, you'll see on our fridge, we've got a timetable. In my office, you'll see that there's a separate timetable for me, because I love that. I think that that's something that works well for me. But when we are speaking of goals, I'm actually very mindful in the knowledge that they're helpful, yes, but goals should never be something that takes away from your present peace of mind. It should never be,
oh, I'm going to be happy when I've achieved X, Y, and Z, when I have this particular job role or this particular weight or this particular friendship circle or this particular house or a certain dollar figure in your bank account. I mean, that's coming from a space of, I feel anyway, that the grass is greener over there, and that it's coming from a space of, I'm going to say the word lack. I feel it feels very limiting. It feels like there's a lot of, I'm not good enough until this happens. And so when we set goals, I personally feel that it's very important to look at the motivation of the why, because the energy that is behind a certain goal or aspiration or intention, as focused as it might make you, what's the reasoning behind it? So if it is for a particular house, I would ask you to look into, and it comes from allowing the space, the time, and literally the energetic space to go into why. Is it because of what you want others to perceive of you if you have this particular house? Is it coming from a space of your parents didn't have a house, so you want one because you don't want to end up like them? I mean, what's the motivation? Or is it coming from a space of wanting to have a beautiful space and land for your children and their children to grow up? You know, it's important anyway for you to look at the motivation as to why. And if it stems from something external, or if it stems from something to wanting to appease or gain approval from someone else, goal setting is an opportunity to look within as to why it is that you want certain things. And you might end up, upon reflection and upon sitting down, realizing that, you know what, in fact, I actually don't need this in my life. It may well take away my time, my energy, this spaciousness, this concept of spaciousness, chasing something that actually is not motivated from my own internal being. It's actually externally driven. I'm worrying about what it might look on the outside or what others may perceive it to be. So that is really my undertone, or my, you know, yes, I want to set goals, but look in very deeply as to where they're coming from, why they're there, and then to take it from there. And if it's a full-fledged, heart-centered, heart-based yes, then go for it. If it's coming from that energy and that space of, oh, I want this because I feel like my soul is calling for it, or I want to nurture my body and I want to give the respect to my body that she deserves by moving her, versus wanting to exercise because I need to lose 5 kilos and, you know, I am not going to feel happy until I can wear that particular outfit. That's very... it's very harsh and it's very judgmental and self-critical. It's not coming from a space of unconditional love. It's not coming from a space of genuine nurturing and nourishing. And so my question would perhaps be, if you eventually got to that goal weight, would that internal need or that love that comes from deep within, would that actually be filled? Or would it take another kilo or another 2 kilos in order for you to feel like, you know what, I actually love myself, my internal, that entire self-love? And so that motivation of exercise, is it a process of nourishing and wanting to give respect to the temple that we have for such a short period of time? Or is it coming from a space of punishment of, you know, I want to look like that person? So looking into that feeling, the energy that's behind that motivation is very important. And that is a key part of setting goals for me anyway. That's certainly what I feel is important. And so I've actually created a little PDF downloadable worksheet where this is what I do when I set my goals. So essentially what I do is I dedicate 3 particular words for the year. So that enables me to live almost, I go back to those words because it sets the intention for the year, and they're words that are just quick, easy, short, sharp. I know what I need to come back to if I feel like I am deviating from this path, or, you know, my wish and desire for the year. And then I actually separate specific goals into mind, body, spirit. Because I've always seen life, and I've explained this in my book, and I think I probably explained it in one of the other podcasts, but essentially I see life as the triangle where, you know, what holds us together is the mind aspect, the body aspect, and the spiritual aspect. And I look at what are my goals in each of those areas, and not hundreds. You know, I used to put pages and pages and pages, and my husband, he thinks very differently to me. And so, you know, I've actually shifted a little bit where I've simplified it more, because when something feels so big, you end up not doing anything. So I actually have been able to cull and so to really refine that process, which has actually been very beneficial. So I definitely write those mind, body, spirit goals. And then I write down what my non-negotiables are. It's written, it's almost a pledge to myself. What are my non-negotiables? Now, ideally, it would be every day, my non-negotiables every day. It could be for a week. But in general, it's just very important to kind of set clear boundaries. Okay, well, this is what are my non-negotiables, and it can change. Of course, it can change. That's the beauty of life. It is very fluid and flexible. But definitely, I do write what my non-negotiables are. And I remind myself, if it's just on this one page little document, that what are the self-care strategies that I'm going to employ? What am I going to go to? What are my tools that I can use and that I can actually practically use this year that will fit into the year that is right now, you know? It was very different when my children were babies, you know? Those little self-care strategies were quite different to what they look like now and what they will look like in another few years. It is always changing, but I love to remind myself of exactly what those self-care strategies are. And then I also jot down to remind myself, what are the signs that I should be looking out for that my body's telling me certain things? Because I'm a firm believer that our body, our physical body, gives us signs and symptoms. Now, they could be little whispers that can be hard to hear or notice or observe at first. And in time, they can get bigger and louder if we're ignoring them. And so definitely I feel like our body does tell us lots of different things if we give her the capacity to be heard, if that makes sense. So I feel like my body, either I've been more observant or the little whispers have become so big that I actually can't ignore them anymore. So a lot of them did actually happen, I would say, in the summer break. And to be honest, they were my summer musings or my summer reflections. I was really able to look in to see what was going on, what my body was saying. It became a very obvious pattern for me. And so I write down the signs of, okay, what am I watching out for? What am I looking for, and what is it that I'm trying to get from this information? So for example, when we moved house, I tend to carry tension in my shoulders. You know, I kind of, you know, everything I hold up, and, you know, they were incredibly, exceptionally sore. I had to see a physio. I couldn't move my neck. I was all stiff, and literally I would describe it as like, I felt like I was carrying the burden of the whole world on my shoulders. And the irony is I was using heat patches, and this particular one, first I was so excited about how strong it was and how, you know, it's so amazing. I feel like I'm getting so much heat. Anyway, I didn't read the fine print. As a terrible pharmacist that I am, you should always read the instructions. But it did say not to use other application on that same area. I believe it said within 8 hours. Anyhow, I had put one on, left it on overnight. The next morning, put another one straight in the same place. I did that over a multiple number of days. And then I ended up, I'll have to put up a post actually. I'll put up a post to show you the burn. It was horrendous. I still have a scar actually. I should really be putting some treatment on there. But I burned myself, and it was a horrible, ridiculous burn. Still, my neck was in agony. This was after remedial massage and seeing a physio. And the energetic meaning or the hidden message was really, I ended up burning myself literally from within, because I was carrying this feeling of where's my tribe? I felt like I was all alone carrying the burden of, you know, all that exists. With moving, it was almost just that extra feeling of where is help? I need help. And I was getting so irritated and frustrated, and I was. But in the end, I was the one burning myself because it was bubbling underneath. And, you know, I was carrying that tension, and I was the one suffering when it could have been avoided if I had just spoken up to say, help me, help me, help me. I understand, I can appreciate that this might be burdening you or inconveniencing you. However, I need help. And it was almost that realization of that I did need help. And so have I learned my lesson? I'm not entirely sure. I'm not entirely sure. I definitely do struggle with actually asking for help. I do. That's a genuine thing that I have. And so that is something that I'm working on. But yes, anyway, that was one aspect. And another one is inflammation from alcohol. Now, my body has been telling me that alcohol is literally like poison. Every time I drink, my hands swell, my feet swell, my neck swells, my face. There's a lot that happens in terms of that. So essentially, over the Christmas period, when we're in Fiji, I got an infection on my foot from the swimming pool. So I had scratched a mosquito bite raw, it was open, and then obviously we went into the water and it became infected, hugely swollen. So I was scared that it was turning into cellulitis and, you know, it was really red hot, raw, you know, nasty. I was limping because it was so inflamed. And so I needed antibiotics topically, orally, and we did end up coming back home early from our trip. And for me, it almost was because I feel anyway of the alcohol. I feel like it was another indication where there was so much inflammation, this internal bubbling that was going on. And yes, I didn't take heed. And then I sprained my ankle back in July after a netball injury. It sounds like I constantly have things going on. I don't. It's over a long period of time, but they're just things that have stood out for me. And so I was doing nothing. We went to a play date for Ari's new school. I was just wearing flat shoes. We were in a park. We were standing for maybe 2 hours or so, but nothing. I didn't fall. I didn't roll my ankle. I didn't do anything, but I was limping. And there was so much inflammation, it was swollen. And anyway, it was just another example of alcohol. Yeah, I had had alcohol the night before. And there's inflammation, immediate swelling that ensues, and not gout. It's not sort of gout related, but my body has been telling me for a really long time. And it's very, very interesting. And so another thing that I learned over the summer break, and this is quite a superficial one, but I'll share for the sake of sharing. And that was, so we went to Perth for our annual big dental group Christmas party. And I was like, oh, everyone has, you know, beautiful long lashes. I'll get some lash extensions. And naturally, my eyelashes are quite long. I actually didn't need to get them done. The irony of it is they annoyed me every single day. And then because I kept scratching them off because I hated that feeling. Now my right eye's lashes are all stumpy and broken off. And the irony of it is now I've actually ruined the lashes that I have all for thinking that something external was going to make me look better or feel better or, you know, yeah, it was just really very silly if I think about it. And so now I've come to the realization of if it isn't broken, don't try to fix it. And also, don't try to feel, you know, don't look for external things to make yourself feel better. Or, you know, you don't have to do anything that everyone else is doing. Just to stay in your own lane. And I think where the motivation comes from is an important aspect to consider. I mean, look, this isn't even a big deal. They'll grow back. It's all good. But it was just a really very superficial exercise that I'm kind of appreciated that we're perfect, I'm whole, I'm complete, I am exactly perfect as I am, and I don't need to look outside of myself to fill in any voids or blanks, you know? And so that is really the motivation as to looking into the why. So why do you choose certain things? So for example, if one of your goals is to meditate, is it because you feel you have to? Is it because someone told you that you should? Or is it coming from a space of, oh, I just really want an opportunity and some time in my day to go within and to switch off my mind that's consumed by so much information and one thought to the next that I just want to switch off? So looking into the energy that's behind it. Then the last thing on my PDF file that I complete is just some basic action steps as to what I can do right now to help propel myself forward in the right way. So it can take approximately 66 days for something to become a habit. So I just put simple action steps that I can take to move forward just a little to make that goal become more achievable. So that is something that is also on that worksheet as well. Now, the other thing that also has come with time, and it's come, I would definitely say, after this summer break, and that is to grant myself some grace. I used to be that person that would say yes to everything and work myself to the ground and not ask for help. But I can see that the little incidents that have happened and what my body is telling me, whilst I say yes to the world, I might be, you know, when my body's obviously telling me something else, is to grant myself some grace that our life is not ordinary. There is so many balls up in the air. There's lots of things moving. There are a lot of moving parts. And yes, whilst I may want a certain thing right now, you know, even now with my husband away, I need to grant myself grace because, you know, I don't need to have an immaculate home. I don't need to take my children to every single extracurricular activity before school, after school, play dates. There's so many things, obviously, as you all know, in amongst work and everything else, that I can just only do my best at any given time. And if it's too much in that moment, just do my best in that moment. And no one is ever going to come and pat me on the back and say, wow, Namita, you did this much in a day? That's incredible. I mean, A, that never happens. But B, I don't need anyone's approval because I'm not a martyr. I don't have to do everything perfectly at all times. I just need to absolutely give myself that grace and take each day as it comes and to have goals, absolutely, to have certain commitments. Yes, to show responsibility that, you know, you're showing up and you're being your best self. But if there are times where it all falls apart, and it does, then to grant yourself that grace too, that, you know what, tomorrow, let's try again tomorrow. I'm going to do my best tomorrow. And if the wheels fall off again, then you try again the next day and then the next day. But if your intention and your heart is full of, you know, wanting to be your best self, but outside circumstances are maybe not ideal, then that's okay. That's okay. So in terms of being open and honest in the spirit of sharing, so in terms of my answers for what I'm setting up for this year, so to have a crystal idea of where we're going to move forward, I love that. Enables me to thrive. It makes me feel like I have a vision. I'm going to work towards that. And then I check in and I see what's working, what's not working, and I kind of tweak it. It's not set in stone. It's like a nice little guideline, but that definitely helps me to be able to move forward. So my three words for 2023 are spaciousness. So I did a little video on Instagram, I think, about this word of spaciousness and what that really means for me. And it's really not filling every single waking moment with an activity and to have time in between to just be, not just for me, yes, of course, that's very important, but also for our children. Their nervous systems will be stretched too if we're just cutting around from one place to another, as amazing as it is to give them an opportunity to do everything. In the end, they might end up doing nothing because they're so burnt out, and I'm burnt out, and I'm sitting in the car, you know, with my heat warmer on, my seat warmer on, just to relax me because we have yet another place to be. So spaciousness is a very important one for me. Vitality. Vitality is another word that not just sounds amazing, but, you know, I want that vitality in how I feel and having energy to have that life force. So to have optimal health and nutrition and eating prana, life forced, fueled, if that makes sense. And my third word is abundance. So the abundance of time, the abundance of purpose, the abundance of service, connection, love, that to me is, it feels expansive there. I just, you know, those three words to me mean something to me. Now, my non-negotiables, and so I'm sharing this so that you can go and spend time and work through your worksheet and work out what your non-negotiables are. But mine are definitely exercise, definitely journaling, definitely meditation, definitely reading, definitely having clear boundaries and time dedicated to work, and then clear boundaries, time for work, which is my dharma, my purpose, my, you know, reason for what I do, and to have space and time for family, to have space and time for, you know, everything else in between. So clear boundaries is very important. My non-negotiables, and I say this touching my earring because I haven't quite got there yet, but it's asking or paying for the help that we need and the help that I need because, you know, as I said, I'm not a martyr, and it's having that belief within myself that I am worthy and deserving of getting the help if I need it. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking for help, and then there's nothing wrong with allowing space in your budget, in your week, in your time. You can cut on other things that maybe aren't as life-giving back, if that makes sense. So I'm all for encouraging things that are energy-giving and to cut things out that are energy-depleting. So if there's recurrent things in your week that strip you of your energy and your essence and the opposite of vitality, then those things need to be culled. They're not things that are going to elevate you and bring you up. They're things that are going to be, it's almost like someone's chopping at your legs, and then eventually if you chop enough, they fall off. And that's when wheels fall off. And so I'm very mindful of the fact that me doing 15 loads of washing and, you know, ironing all the clothes and putting them away and changing the sheets, I mean, that doesn't give back to me. It doesn't make me feel like I'm living my best life. I mean, a lot of people may enjoy that, and that's perfectly beautiful. But for me, it strips my energy away. It really does. And it kind of wears down at you where you become resentful. And so that's definitely a space where I'm looking in, I'm checking in, I'm giving myself the permission to ask for the help that I need and to not feel guilty about it, to not feel like I'm wasting resources and that, you know, I am worthy and deserving. And so that's a call to action for you as well. If there are things that, you know, it does take a village to raise children and a family. And, you know, I feel like we've lost that in the modern world. We really have. And so if you need the help, then let's do it together. Maybe power in numbers. Okay. And so the signs for my body to observe. So I briefly touched on that. So obviously when my shoulders are up and high, you know, they need to be back and relaxed, and my jaw tightening and everything holding in. So, you know, that's related, that whole pelvic floor with tensing up your face. You relax your forehead, you soften your jaw, you relax your shoulders, you breathe out. We're not sucking in our tummy all the time. We can let our pelvic floor relax. It doesn't always have to be on. So we're just being, we're breathing out. We're not in this emergency fight or flight sympathetic nervous system state. It's important to let go and to allow our parasympathetic nervous system to thrive. Anyway, there's a lot more information on the vagal nerve, vagal tone. And I've actually found that quite fascinating. I've heard quite a few podcasts and looking into more of that as well. So that's very, very interesting. I'm observing my breath. I'm observing how quickly I'm doing things. Sometimes I'm just, you know, like I'm washing the dishes to just hurry up and get them done. And the truth is, time is a man-made construct. It's an illusion. It's not a real thing. It's something that we have invented with a clock, and we're stuck to being a slave to it. And so, you know, meditation can be whilst you're washing the dishes as a very mindful moment. In fact, it was one of the mindful moments that we practiced last year. And so I observe myself when I'm just, and usually I end up dropping dishes. You know, I'm quite clumsy. Now, I'm digressing. I kind of got lost with that particular conversation. In terms of self-care strategies, so I write my list of what they are. For me, it's monthly acupuncture. It's a massage when I feel I need it. And I do. I often, you know, it could be a month, like a monthly massage, to be honest. I absolutely, absolutely love it. Taking long baths is an important one for me. I definitely feel held and supported and really, yes, I definitely love that. Going to the ocean, there's something so magical about the sea and the ocean that does something for me. And thankfully, all of my family, so we can all go together and it just feels like pure divine connection. Silent coffees. I love just sitting outside and just sipping my coffee. Turning my phone off, that's a big one. Definitely that's a self-care strategy. I put it away. The TV off. Sometimes the noise just, it's like nails on a chalkboard. Just switch it off. Sometimes I literally lie on my bed and just stare at the ceiling and it is bliss. I love it. Silence, pausing, chewing mindfully when I'm eating, like eat properly at the table without watching the TV. I mean, that is a self-care strategy. It's one that we've lost the art of in this modern world. Not from a space of judgment, but from a space of we've become so consumed with information and not wanting to be bored, I think, or we're so busy doing other things. We just think, I need to catch up on whatever it is. It might be the news or it might be a show or something, but it's mind-numbing really. And when we're watching something mind-numbingly, we're not focusing on eating the gratitude of the food and assimilating that into all of our cells. And it's all related. It's all related. So anyway, that's another self-care strategy for me. And then obviously going through some simple action steps. And so those are all related to what I've mentioned before. Well, so the purpose of this episode really is to highlight why goal setting is important, because it enables you to look, check in, what's working, where do you want to go? You work with the end in mind and you allow whatever it is that you're doing to be intentional. You allow whatever it is that you're doing to have some kind of, you've got some lanes that you're working in. But to also check in and look at the motivation of why, where is it coming from? Why is it that you want to do that? And even though you have a goal in mind, I think that's amazing. And that's the purpose really I feel for life is to always want to grow and learn and become your best self, right? I think that we've never ever arrived at this perfect state of being. I think we always have an opportunity to grow, learn, become better. But don't ever feel like you can only be happy when X, Y, and Z happens, because A, that might take forever and you may never get there, right? You may have a particular target, and if, without being morbid, but say you don't make it to that goal, does that mean that your life was not worthwhile? Absolutely not. That's not the truth at all. The beauty is in the journey. The beauty is, okay, having something to work towards, but knowing that you're not incomplete because you haven't reached that yet. That is a very important and pivotal piece of information, because you are whole and complete and perfect and worthy and deserving right now. These are just things that you want to work towards, but right here in the now, give yourself the grace to say, yes, I want to live my best life. I want to thrive. But don't beat yourself up if certain things don't go according to plan every single day. That's okay. That's life. The human form is like that. But to try again that same afternoon, you know, you can strip off. Every second, every moment is a chance to begin anew. And that is really, really important. But definitely, I would say for you to sit down with a nice herbal cup of tea. And this is going to be your mindful moment for the week or your pearl to practice, is to sit with the worksheet that hopefully you can download from the show notes. Otherwise, I will pop the worksheet on Instagram as well. So you can certainly hop on and have a look through that. But I really hope that you can sit internally, reflect in a quiet space and set out your goals. And I hope that it's given you some direction, some clarity. Now, in the midst of perinatal anxiety and depression or postnatal depression, if you are in the thick of it, your goals really is to keep taking that next step forward and next step forward. And you don't need grandiose goals of whatever it is. You know, you don't have to look that far ahead. However, your goal is survival, and your goal absolutely needs to be to keep on fighting, to keep on going, to speak up and to get the help that you need. Because on the other side of your recovery, you will have access to a beautiful, glorious life. You will, absolutely. And having big goals like that feel big. They feel huge. In fact, momentous. I used to sit there with the blanket over my head thinking, I don't even know if I can make it through the day, let alone there would have been no space for making any big plans at all. In fact, I remember my husband at the time was asking whether, I mean, he obviously needed distraction, or he, you know, yes, somehow needed to plan for the future to give him some kind of motivation, I guess, to keep going. I remember the first time he was asking about buying a house somewhere, and I was like, I cannot have this conversation at all. There is no space. Stop. And so I understand that it's a matter of just survival and getting through this time, and your goal is to just keep fighting. Don't ever give up. And my big goal for you, or my advice for you, is your goal should simply be to knock on everyone's door, or get someone to do it for you, to knock on everyone's door until you get the help that you need and until you can feel the light coming back, because it is possible, right? There may not be a one-size-fits-all model. There's not a quick fix, perhaps. However, for you as well, there will be the right key for your lock. There will be, 100%. It may take patience to get there in time, but I want you to hold on. Your goal is to see the light, to feel the light, and I want you to know that you are worthy and deserving to get there and to feel it and to experience it, because your life on the other side of it can be so, so glorious. And if I was to look back at the time where I didn't even think that I would be here, I didn't want to be here, I reflect and I'm grateful of, my gosh, this life is incredible. I'm filled with only gratitude, and I savor and I devour every moment, no matter how ugly it is. I still appreciate that I've had the opportunity to feel that crapness. You know, it sounds silly, but I never thought that I would be here today, and I am, and I'm living a life that I am utterly grateful for, and every cell in my being doesn't take it for granted. And I want you to know that you've got a beautiful life waiting for you too. So that is if obviously you're experiencing the depths of the trenches. I want you to keep fighting. And for those that have made it through, for those that actually have never experienced perinatal mental health, anxiety, depression, anything like that, this episode about goal setting is one where I hope it's a little bit more specific, and I hope that it gives a little bit more, more clarity and something that you can use. Anyway, in terms of moving forward for 2023, I have lots and lots of plans. I really have a lot of episodes and a lot of blogs and self-care cards that will be going up on the website for so many, or I would say for all the health conditions that I would see in my community pharmacy as a pharmacist. Definitely, I want to be able to have a go-to resource where you can see, you can find out exactly, you know, if someone has a particular condition, what you can do and what self-care strategies literally may be. And so definitely that is one aspect that I want to cover. I want to do series on breastfeeding, series on medications. I want to do series on Ayurveda, series on yoga, series on self-love. You know, I've got lots of big plans for helping you to thrive in the whole mind, body, spirit aspect from a Western and Eastern perspective. So that is my intention and goal for 2023. It's one to really hopefully disseminate and share the information that I have with you to help you, your family, your children thrive. And my real genuine hope is that if you do know anyone who is pregnant, anyone who's had a baby, anyone who's planning for a family, to share this platform with them, because the information that I have, the truth is no one's going to know it, that they may need it until sometimes it's too late. And my hope is that this resource, the information, the books, the blogs, the podcasts, the meditations, that they're all easily there to be accessed, the links for all the resources. So you know without a shadow of a doubt, if your friend is suffering from postnatal depression, you know where to go to get information and you know where to direct them and what communication you can help to steer them in the right way. So you can read what it might look and feel like if you don't know yourself, and to help steer, to help yank them, to help hold their hands to their recovery, because it's so incredibly crucial and important. And I feel that passion and purpose from, I just, you know, want to scream it from the rooftop. So that is my real genuine wish for the year, is that this information reaches the ears, the hearts, the homes. I know I say that all the time, that the people who need to hear it, because it's something that I really, really believe in, and I know that it would be helpful. And yeah, I created it because the things that I wish that I had at the time. So, you know, I want it to be a lifeline and a raft for other people too. So yeah, that's definitely my wish for 2023. But yes, anyway, I digress. I want you to sit with yourself and your thoughts and your mind, body, soul, and check in on where you are, what you want to do, work with the end in mind, and set forth on a beautiful year. Don't go back to old habits. You know, take 66 days to establish a new habit and look for patterns. And you're no less deserving than anyone else. You know, if your partner's working more hours than you, that doesn't mean that you're less worthy. If you, whatever it is, look, anyway, otherwise this episode will go on forever, but know that you're worthy, have clear boundaries, set your intentions, and go forth, you beautiful human being. And until next week, I hope you have a fantastic week. That is your mindful moment or your pearl to practice this week, to really go through that workbook or worksheet. Okay, thank you. Thanks so much for joining me. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, it would be so amazing if you could leave a review, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing, share this resource and my Holistic Healing Co. website, where you will find all of the episodes and show notes, as well as share my social media to your friends and to all those who would benefit from its content. I hope you have received a beautiful takeaway to help you thrive, and I look so forward to joining you again next week.